Okay, go ahead.
I hereby give to the Women's Oral History Project the tapes recorded on June 30th, 1984, for such educational and scholarly uses and purposes as the directors Elizabeth Kennedy and Madeline Davis shall determine. I further consent to the transcription and publication of any or all of this interview as educational and scholarly work require. I have been assured that only my first name, Fatty, will be employed in any use of these tapes. I understand that at some future date, the tapes will be housed in an archive chosen by the directors of the Women's Oral History Project and will be available for public access governed by the rules of the archive. I give consent that these tapes be made available for research purposes immediately after the date of the last interview.
Right. It's the Buffalo Women's Oral History Project. I think you skipped the word Buffalo a couple of times, but you do understand that it is the Buffalo Project and not any other one. Okay, great.
Sure.
I asked you a question before we turned the tape on, and that was in thinking of our writing history of the Buffalo lesbian community, what do you think is most important for us to let people know about the history of this community or the people in it?
I think that so many people have had or do have, still have, the wrong ideas about lesbians as people and human beings. And I feel that it's very, very important that people should know that we are human like anybody else. And that certainly... I feel that now, I feel that things are so changed. But back then, in the early 50s, when I came out, everyone had really a togetherness. Things were so much different. And it's important, I think, that people know that we were for one another, not against one another. And we shared many things that now when you go into these bars, there's just, I don't find anything that interests me, and I feel very, very much alone. I feel that people should realize that it's very different, of course, to come out and to say that you are a lesbian. It was never hard for me to do that because I didn't have to worry about coming out to my family or anything like that because I didn't get along with them to start off with. Lost.
Okay.
I feel back then too that role playing was very important. I still feel and always will that someone should be the more aggressive person in a relationship. I think that is important.
Why? And what do you mean by aggressive?
I would say that I'm more of a type that is not a leader but a follower, and I always didn't like a real manly type looking woman. But I'd like someone who would be a stronger person in the relationship in terms of maybe managing the finances or stronger sexually also.
So that person would be, what, the butch in
yes,
the relationship?
Right, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer someone who would be not dressing real mannish, but just someone who would be a stronger person and sort of someone that I would be able to lean on and depend on, mm-hmm. type of thing.
So you've not considered yourself a butch?
No, I have not. Mm-hmm. I have never felt that way. I have always felt very strongly that anyone that I would be with, I would want them to be, well, someone that would make the decisions. I guess I've always been sort of a person that couldn't make my own decisions, and I didn't like pounding nails and hammering and things like this. I like cooking and sewing and cleaning, and any other type of things I would leave up to the butch type of person that I would, you know, mm-hmm. be involved with.
So you've thought of yourself as a femme?
Yes, always. I've had many people, though, that have taken me to be a butch because I do not like dressing really feminine, and I feel that I do have some butch ways that have led people to believe that I just might be a butch. I'm not real feminine acting.
What do you mean, butch ways?
A lot of people seem to feel because if you have short hair, this makes you a butch, but that certainly is not so. I don't feel that it has anything to do with your dress or the clothes that you wear, but the actions of a person. It's like you're usually classed as a butch if you're kind of stomping, or you're, back in those days, a stomping stud or a real dyke person.
Those phrases are interesting. What's a real dyke person?
Okay, I would say to me, or it's the way I'm used to interpreting it, is that a real dyke person would be a real mannish appearing person. Or the term, which I really don't like, bull dyke or bull dagger. I don't like those terms at all. But these were used a lot, yeah. But I don't like them. I prefer to just use, you know, a gay woman or a lesbian woman.
Mm-hmm. But what were the terms that were used then for more masculine women or
dyke?
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when you first heard that word?
Well, actually, when I first came out, which was in the early 50s, I was hearing this word a lot. Mm-hmm. Bull dagger, dyke.
Did you know what it meant?
Not really, because when I first came out, I was introduced to the bars by an older woman, and I wasn't really too sure what was happening or what I was doing. But I always knew or felt that my thoughts and my feelings were different. Like when I was going to school, instead of, you know, wanting to be like other people and having dates with guys and stuff, I was looking at women and seeing things in women that really interested me, or carrying women's books or things like this here.
How old were you when you first remember feeling that way?
This was kind of an early age, really. I'd say around when I was even 12 or 13 years old, mm-hmm. I really had strong feelings because my family life was not too good. I was kind of shoved around from pillar to post, and I felt very rejected in a lot of ways. But all during this time, I had thought, well, there's something wrong with me. I just, you know, couldn't seem to put my finger on what was bothering me, because I felt as if this were wrong for me to feel this way. But then when I really came to grips with myself on this, I would say I was about between the ages of 17 and 18 years mm-hmm. old when I really came out to myself and to others with the realization that I was gay and mm-hmm. that I wanted to know more about this thing. And I started going to a neighborhood bar. And
do you remember what bar it was?
Oh, yes, quite well. Bingo's.
Oh, yeah.
Bingo's mm-hmm. bar. It's the first bar that I ever went into. And once I started going, I just couldn't stop. It fascinated me.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, the woman, one of the women who worked behind the bar, well, it took about 6 years, but kind of chasing her around, and we kind of went through a lot of scenes, and some good and some not so good. But we ended up as lovers, and we were lovers for 3 years.
Okay, I want to ask you who that was, but I don't want her name on the tape, so hang on a second. Okay. I want to get our problem sometimes with interviewing people is that a lot of people know the same people, and if they
right.
don't mention their names, we don't know how relationships overlap sometimes.
Okay.
But we also don't want other people's names on the tape. We're right. real careful about other people, too.
I started going to this bar every night.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a thing with me. I just felt like I had found something. I was really delighted and ecstatic with it. It's all we hear were all these women, and I knew that, I just knew in my mind that this was the thing I wanted. But yet I wasn't, you know, too sure of how to go about anything, so I'd just go in the bar, and I'd never was too much of a drinker, so I didn't drink too much. I used to sit at the bar and chew ice cubes. How crazy. I always had this favorite spot at the end of the bar. And the bartender, whose name was Bingo, he was, you know, very friendly with me, and I'd go in the bar, and I became acquainted very quickly because I've always had a rather friendly disposition, and I became acquainted quickly with many different women. And I recall that one woman in particular was very interesting to me. And this was a black woman who later became one of my lovers. It was the first time I had ever really went with a black woman, and I wasn't too sure if I wanted this relationship or if I didn't want it, but it was something that I wanted to try and something I knew I had to try to determine and decide within myself if this was what I really wanted, mm-hmm. if this was the type of thing that I really wanted to do, this mm-hmm. this type of lifestyle, if I really wanted to be in it, if I would be comfortable with it. We went together for about, I would say, 2 years. At that time, I thought it was great, that our relationship was wonderful and that everything was beautiful, but there were things about this woman that, as I look back over the years now, I can realize that there were many things that...
Mm-hmm. All right, now, are you talking about the woman who was the bartender?
No.
Or the your first lover?
No, this would be the first girl that I went with.
For any length of time?
Right. And,
okay, and how old were you at that point?
Oh, let me see. This was...
You came out to the bar at age 17 or 18.
And it's hard for me to remember ages and stuff, really. It's, I'm lost with ages, I really am.
Okay.
Lost with it. Can't answer a definite thing on that. All I can really tell you is, you know, that I was there.
Okay.
Somehow.
So you're over 18 years old by this time when
yes,
you're having
course.
This relationship.
Right. I certainly am.
And it went on for a couple of years?
Yes, 2 years.
Mm-hmm. How did it start?
Well, it started kind of strange. It's like I just sat in the bar every night, and kind of a very observing person anyway, and I just would sit there and kind of look around, and this woman was very attractive, and she started coming into the bars, and there was a lot of things that attracted me to this woman. She was had a very nice build. She was a butch type looking woman, but not real butch. There were things about her that I really liked, and I felt like I would get that I would like to get to know her better. And one evening, she bought me a drink when we were sitting at the bar. And we started talking, and we just kind of clicked. There was just something there that that just clicked, and we started seeing each other. And I would say, after about a week, we got an apartment together.
After a week?
After a week. We decided that we were going to share an apartment. We didn't...
Oh, you hadn't decided
to be lovers.
We didn't
actually make a commitment to be lovers, but we decided that we'd like to share an apartment together.
Had you slept together by that time?
No, we hadn't really.
Oh, okay.
We were sort of like, we were both working, yeah. And it was like, we thought we'd like to share an apartment because I was kind of tired of living by myself. She was tired of the same routine. And we thought we'd like to try a living and sharing arrangement, mm-hmm. sharing the rent. And it hadn't been necessarily discussed that we would make a commitment. We thought we would kind of let that just gradually take care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
That took a while. I would say that part of it took a few months. And
and you lived as roommates?
In the beginning, yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. Did you have separate bedrooms?
No, we didn't. We slept together. Oh. But... There was no real sexual commitment between us. We were close. Sometimes we would sleep with our arms around each other. But nothing happened sexually between us for, I'd say, about 6 months.
Really?
It was difficult sometimes. There were times when I really felt that I would like to, and then there were times... when I wasn't so sure if I wanted to or not. Not because I couldn't feel certain in myself what I wanted, because by that time I knew definitely that that I liked women very much.
And you had slept with women before this?
Once.
One time or one woman?
One time before this.
Just one time with one woman?
Just one time with one woman, yes.
Uh-huh, okay.
Interesting.
The people that you knew at the bar, did they think this situation was unusual?
Well, I never discussed too much. Never was the type of person to discuss things too much with. I think at that time I had a pretty good friend that I used to talk to a lot. A girl named Daddy. Talked to her an awful lot. She
this
was
is
about,
a gay woman?
Oh, yes. Who has passed away since then.
I see.
And very nice person. Used to cry on her shoulder a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Tell her a lot of things. And we were very, very close. We had a very, very deep friendship. I would say she's about the only one that I did talk to. She didn't feel that it was strange. She felt that... Well, she actually felt that this woman wasn't right for me in our conversation. She felt like there were a lot of things around this woman that she had other ideas for me besides just being a roommate and things. She felt there was more to it also than having a relationship. And after a few months passed, she was right about that, too.
Oh, hang on a second.
Emily, I just don't know if you wanted to hear it.
Yeah, I think that's a real important part of the past in gay life and maybe even the present.
I've been through a lot.
Yeah.
So
you were saying that your friend Dottie thought that this woman you were living with had other plans for you, and those plans turned out to be...
True.
And they were?
She wanted me to become a prostitute and... make money on the street and bring the money home to her, give it to her.
I want to ask one more question off the tape for a second.
Okay, this Did you give her name?
Not on the tape, but I'll take the tape off.
Anyway, so.
Okay, this woman is no longer alive, and this is...
Well, she's alive, but she's not around here.
She's not around the community.
No.
So how did she, had you become lovers by that time?
Well, she was trying to give me the impression that we were lovers. But she must have thought I was a real dumbbell or something, because it was like we didn't have sex too much, but it seemed like when she would want me to do something for her, when she would really need something, then we would have what she considered sex. It was like I would always have to do something with her. She never really seemed to want to do anything to me. It was like...
So you had to be sexually aggressive with
yes,
her?
I did, and I didn't like it.
I'm not sure how that became a... She tried to get you to go out on the streets and earn money.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought that by letting you do something to her, that
would be an
incentive. I
guess that this
would
be an incentive to me to want to do this.
Uh-huh.
But it was totally different, because it totally turned me off. It was making me aggravated. At that time... I was finding it difficult, but I just, I didn't really know just what, I knew what I wanted, but I wasn't working at the time, and the idea of what she was telling me sounded really good to me, not in terms of going out with the men, but in terms that I would have money in my pocket, and that we would do this, and we would do that, and we would do something else.
How'd she broach the subject to you the first time?
She told me that she had a bunch of friends that she would like me to meet, and these friends were interested in parties. They would be interested in seeing a nice girl, and they wouldn't be rough with me, or they wouldn't be unkind with me, but that they would pay me well, and I would not have to, you know, go through any bullshit or anything. I would just have to do what these guys wanted or whatever, and it would be over with.
And she presented it like it would only happen once?
Like it would only happen once.
Uh-huh.
But then...
How'd you react to it?
Well, I didn't like it. And she became forceful at times with me.
What does that mean?
One evening she came into the bar, and I was sitting, and she was very angry that I was sitting down in the bar. She felt that I should be home, getting dressed to go out and do this hooking that she wanted me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we got into an argument because I really didn't want to do this stuff. And she dragged me out of the bar by the hair of my head. This was Bingo's bar. Literally dragged me out of the bar. And I don't know what the people in the bar thought. They didn't really know what was happening, but I knew what was happening, and they figured we were just having a lover's fight, I guess. Mm. So a lot of times people did not step into things, but then there were times when, you know, your good friends did jump in and fight there for you or with you. I was just tired of this thing, you know, because it was a constant thing with us that she was trying to make me do this hustling.
You did, I mean, there was a first time.
Yes, there was.
And tell me what happened the first
time. Well, the first time I did have a date, and these men were black. The first time there were two of them, and the one guy, I went into the room with him, and he just totally couldn't be pleased in any way. He was just impossible. And I said, look, you know, I can't go through this. I came out and I told her, I just can't go through this type of thing. And she just insisted. So I took care of the first guy. And then there was another guy there, and he wanted a party. He wanted her and I to go together in front of him. And she refused. She said, you can go to bed with my friend, but I will not be a part of it. And I said, God, this all stinks, you know. It's
good
real,
enough for you
real,
to do.
Yeah, it's good enough for me to do, but not for her to do.
How'd you feel?
I felt like a piece of shit, really. Like a damn piece of rotten shit. Mm-hmm. And the more I thought about this, and it was making me more bitter and more bitter. This didn't end, incidentally. It ended up that I was going into hotels, seeing guys, turning a lot of tricks.
Let's go back to the first time a little bit. I mean, I want you to follow up with the history of how all this evolved, but by the end of that evening, how'd you do the money? I mean, somebody paid somebody, didn't they?
Well, I would have to get that money in the beginning, in front, as they would call it, before I would even take my clothes off. I mean, she had explained all these things to me, really taught me the ropes by sitting down and telling me each and every detail of how to do this kind of thing. She certainly did.
What did she say?
She said, well, before you even, when you go into the room with the man, before you even do anything, just tell him that you have to have the money up in front, that you must have your money ahead of time. If he doesn't give you the money, then you don't do anything. And you tell him that you absolutely cannot have any kind of action with him unless he pays you the money mm-hmm. in front.
Did she tell you how much to charge?
Yes, she certainly did.
What was
and,
that?
And she said that, if the man just wanted to be there for a short time, it would be $30 or $40. If he wanted, figured a long time, it would be $75 or $100. And a long time to her would be maybe 20 minutes. It's a long time. never lasts that long because I became smart. I was really so sick of it, I'd usually suggest getting a bottle and get the guy half drunk. And then I'd either roll him or I'd, put up with it the best way I could. And I'd get his money somehow.
Yeah.
If he went in the bathroom, I'd take the money out of his pants and I would go because I just didn't want to be bothered with this sexual aspect of facing all these things. It made me sick.
Did you have to do different kinds of things with different kinds of people?
Yes, I certainly did. One thing that you do hear most of these hookers speak about is having going down a guy. I never did this. I refuse to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anybody says. I just refuse to do that. I would not do that. And I had different guys during the course of this thing that wanted weird things like being tied up and beaten with a belt. And one guy that wanted you to walk around with your underwear on. Mm-hmm. Some that just wanted to be, jerked off. All this weird stuff. Well, and I found that
were you able to do that? Were you able to tie a guy up and beat him with a belt?
Yes, I loved it. Because I thought it was great because I liked it because I felt like I could beat the shit out of him, it was and he couldn't do a damn thing about it, He's a man, and that dirty thing between his legs, I sure didn't want it in me. So if he said to me, well, we're going to do this and that, I said, that's fine. And he brought the belt and stuff with him, and I beat the fucking shit out of him because I just couldn't. I've never really, from the time I was small, have liked anything about a man, their looks or actions or anything. Mm-hmm. I just felt that within me so strongly.
So you felt when you were doing it
when I was doing
you were
this,
angry?
Yes, and I felt like I could just beat him to death. But he loved it, and he got a pleasure out of it, and that's the only way that some of these crazy assholes could come was to...
Oh, and they did come from
doing it. Certainly he did, and it was sickening, though.
How much money would they pay you for that kind of thing?
Well, I insisted on at least $100. I wouldn't care if it
for
took
that
5
kind
months,
of
that's right,
uh-huh.
And I wouldn't do it for anything less.
Seems like that's a lot of work.
Well... It was a lot of work, very strenuous and mind-boggling, because at the same time I'm knocking him with the belt and he's all, and I'm ready to puke my guts out.
It sounds like you both liked it and hated it at the same time.
Right. That's right. You got it. And it was disgusting. I had an experience one time, too, while I was with her, that I went in a car, and I was trying to get home. A guy had taken me, well, he had picked me up. I was around Michigan and Eagle, I would say, and I was trying to get home. It was very late, and I was real tired, and I just knew that if I went home and hadn't made any money that she was going to be really angry, you know, and I just didn't give a shit. I said, well, if she gets real angry or does whatever she does, that's just what'll have to happen, because I was sick, I couldn't stay out any longer. And a fellow stopped. I had known this fellow for a long time. He offered me a ride. I thought, well, why not? I'm real tired. And he always seemed like a nice guy and everything, so I got in the car. Well, that was the worst thing I ever did. There was two guys in the back seat, and they took me way out by...